So, Father, we just thank you for another awesome night tonight, Lord, to be together and fellowship together. We just thank you for being with us and guiding us. And we just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And thank you for providing this tool that we can come together and just be in one accord. And Lord, we just ask you to bless tonight, guide and direct us in our fellowship. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So let's go ahead and start out we just like to try to get any prayer out of the way. If anybody needs prayer, would like to pray. Is there any prayer needs? Anybody want to pray for anybody? All right. I guess what I'd like to kind of start off with is, last week, I mean, everybody's, kind of quiet, and afterwards, Tricia discerned a spirit of slumber, and we've been kind of praying against, just any spiritual attacks or anything like that to bring slumber, just to bring anything against, the fellowship. And so I just, we've got this tool and where we can come together and pray and share testimonies but we want to try to get everybody involved. And sometimes I know that people are, hesitant to say things, could be fear of man or what others think, or just aren't comfortable as far as with just sharing. But I just want to kind of open it up. If anybody has got just anything, if a question, anything that's on their heart, anything that, maybe a dream the Lord has given you, a revelation, something you saw in the Word or the Lord opened you up to during the week. If you got just anything, just a word by faith, if the Lord spoke to you about something and through a word by faith or a lot or something like that, just anything that the Lord is, just been showing you or working in you. The other thing is we just, if you can, I mean, if anybody's got any struggles or anything that they're dealing with, any lies they're dealing with, I try to be as transparent as I can, kind of sharing some of the things that, we're going through, because you're not alone. I mean, the enemy is, is kind of ramped up so if there's anything that you want to, expose as far as with the enemy, put the light on it, expose the lies, anything like that. I mean, that's really, what this is all about. And Michael and I, we just, we do this for you guys. We just, we love to fellowship. We love to, just come together. Really do much studying or anything like that. The only thing I do is, when I typically get into a Bible study each week, and I just ask the Lord, and he just kind of takes me in different directions. And lately I've been just using eSword, and as I'm in my Bible studies, and sometimes, like, last week I was just looking up, things as far as being in Christ, and this week I did a study on, being in the flesh. But if any of you are doing studies, like Michael Green shared last week, which is awesome. I mean, he's been in, sharing and so if anybody else has got, is in a study that they're getting revelation or the Lord is showing them that, just go ahead and bring it forth. And if there's anything else that you guys would like to see as far as, discuss or, things like that, we just want to try to keep it on the Lord, keep it on the Word, keep it on, just walking in Christ and just helping each other and edifying each other and praying for each other, type thing. So this is just an awesome tool. So just want to kind of throw that out. And so just, you know, just if something's on your heart or you got a question, just don't, you know. I know there's, you know, some of the women, you know, are a little, you know, a little hesitant to talk, but I'm just gonna, you know, just throw it out. Just, you know, if there's something on your heart, just, you know, bring it forth. As far as that, if, you know, God is giving you dreams or showing you stuff in the spirit, you know, just share it, and because it'll definitely, you know, bless others. So, with all that to say, let me pray. Father, we just open up tonight to you, Lord, and we just bind up the principalities and powers that would, you know, keep anybody from bringing forth anything that there's on their heart. We bind up just any fears, any fear of man, any fear of what others think, any fear of, you know, not going to sound right or whatever it is. We just rebuke those lies right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you for just giving us this tool that we can be transparent. We can come against the enemy. We can expose the lies. We can expose the fears. We can expose the doubts or whatever we're dealing with. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We just ask you to just bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So with that, does anybody, we've just kind of been throwing out any prayer or any testimonies they'd like to share.
I got a praise report, Tim.
Awesome. Let's hear it, Chris.
Marlene and I have a friend that we met a couple years ago. Her name is Savannah. She has a twin sister. And they just, the twins just turned 22 a couple weeks ago. And it's such an awesome testimony. I wish she could share it. But 4 or 5 weeks ago, her name is Haley. The girl's name is Haley. 4 or 5 weeks, probably 5, 6 weeks ago, she was home from school. She is an Air Force cadet. And she was home from school when she was at a gym in Richmond working out one morning, and she had a massive heart attack. There was a doctor there, and there was a nurse there, and they immediately did CPR on Haley, and they thought she had passed, but they rushed her to the hospital. And Savannah, that we know, she sent out, please pray for my sister. She gave us she gave us a quick synopsis, and since we know Savannah, we asked for more information. And it turns out that right after she had this massive heart attack, she went to the hospital, and I was telling Michael this morning, she was on the maximum life support that somebody could be on. She was on a ventilator. She was on a heart bypass machine. She was on a machine called ECMO because her lungs weren't working, and she was also her heart was being paced and dialysis and all that kind of stuff. And the afternoon, I quickly called some folks to pray, and I called Michael out of Montana, and we prayed. And yesterday, Haley walked out of the hospital and she went home. And I can remember that was Michael's prayer when I talked to him, that Haley would walk out of the hospital and she would walk in her own home, and she did. And her family and her siblings, they're all giving praises to the Lord. And I just sent Michael the link of the news report. But it's such a blessing, and it's, you know, God is so powerful, and we're just praising the Lord that she walked out of the hospital and went home.
Amen. Man, I just teared up. It's awesome. Just, we serve an awesome Father, man. So,
amen,
he's hearing our prayers and answering our prayers, and man, it's so awesome. Just, there's just, most of Christianity doesn't even know what faith is, you know?
Amen. I think it's a real testimony to the power of prayer, because the prayer that Michael shared with me when we were praying for Haley, it was almost answered word for word. Praise
That's
the Lord.
That's beautiful. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we just praise you, and we just glorify you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for just, you are just so awesome. You hear us, and you've been just answering our prayers, and we just give you the glory. And, Lord, we just thank you for just working in Haley's life, Lord. Just draw her to you, and just allow this testimony to go forth. And, Lord, we give you the glory for this testimony. And we just thank you that, you know, she'll just become on fire for you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I love testimonies like that. You know, I shared that testimony about the young lady I met at Starbucks, and I've shared that testimony probably 4 or 5 times, and every time I share it, I just get choked up and start crying. You know, I just, just so awesome when you get a testimony like that, and just how powerful God is and just how awesome he is, and I just love it. So, all right, anybody else have something on their heart?
Yeah, Tim, I have a praise report.
Awesome. Go ahead, Marlon.
The other day when Tracy came back from down there, we went to the airport to pick her up. And on the way back, we was driving down the street in town, and this car was right beside us. And I don't know why I happened to look, just kind of glance over there, but he turned over just right into us. And I quickly swerved out of the way, and there was a turn lane there, and there was nobody in that lane. It's a good thing, because I didn't know that there wasn't. But I just think that's another time when the Lord protected us, because there have just been so many times over the years that the Lord has protected our automobiles and our home and our buildings. And there have just been so many times. We don't have no insurance. We haven't had any for years. And a lot of people, when you tell them you don't have insurance, they give you a funny look, or I had one person say, well, good luck. But we have never had to fix an automobile. We haven't had to fix our house. And we've had neighbors who have, you know, had broken windows and got new roofs and new siding because the hail ruined it, and cars get wrecked. And we just, the Lord has been so faithful in doing that. And I just, you know, if you give him your faith, he will be faithful to us.
Amen. That's awesome. And I remember when, you know, as far as with our car insurance, I just I always had, because of the business, I always had just all kinds of, you know, umbrellas on top of this, and you know, it's all fear of being sued. And you know, recently, I mean, I just, you know, went down to the minimum that the, you know, that the state requires. And it was actually freedom. It was just really saying, Lord, I know you're just going to take care of it. You're going to protect us, and we're not going to have to worry about it. But when I was in business, it was all about protecting self and protecting assets and protecting this and protecting that. And it was all me doing the protection. And it was all based on fear, you know, fear of a lawsuit, fear of this, fear of that, fear of, you know. And I saw where I was just being dictated to by fear and by man. And every time I sat down with my insurance man, he would just go through the stories of, you know, what happened here and there and all these, you know, catastrophes. And it was like, it would just instill fear on you, like, well, this could happen. And, you know, but when you don't have the Lord, you're driven by that. But when you truly walk in faith, you know, Lord, you're going to protect us. You're going to protect our house. You're going to protect our vehicles. You're going to protect our family, our kids, all that. It takes you out of that bondage of fear. and you just put that trust in the Lord, and it's an awesome place to be. It really frees you up. So, all right. Anybody else got something to share?
How's it going, Tim?
Aaron Hello. Tweedy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm blessed, brother. I'm very blessed. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Oh, praise the Lord. Sounding like you're doing great, brother. Amen.
So what's going on in your life?
Well, I think it's really interesting. You guys were talking about the insurance thing, and, you know, the Lord kind of, you know, when I got my phone here, actually, I had this choice to, it was some kind of a, you know, it was like a protection, like a warranty thing for my phone. Like I could pay an extra, I think it wasn't that much, like $8 or $10 or something to, just in case, you know, my phone had a problem or, you know, something that I could just get a replacement or I would, you know, be covered on that. Well, when I went and got it, I was like thinking in my heart, you know, with the Lord, I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I felt like the Lord was telling me, just rest in me. And so I just told the guy, you know, no, I don't want to put, you know, I don't want to pay the extra $10 for that, you know. And I just was like, Lord, you're going to take care of my phone. And I think it was really interesting. It is really interesting. I think it was maybe about a month later or something, my phone at work falls into the sink. It was when I used to, when I was washing dishes. My phone fell into the sink and it was on. And I pulled it out really fast and it was, you know, I mean, it was, I think it turned off or something. I don't remember what the deal was. I remember just looking at it like, oh, well, Lord, I'm just gonna believe you. I remember, I mean, I had, you know, I just I kept thinking, you know, I mean, it was like, it wasn't too much. It was like about $80, but still at the time that was a lot for me because, you know, I mean, I didn't have very much work at the time. I was only working like maybe a couple of days a week. And so when I got home that night, I just kept it on the whole time. I was like, Lord, you're going to keep my phone's fine. I'm going to keep it on, you know, and the natural that'd be dangerous because it could, you know, short out. I didn't turn it off because I was trusting the Lord. And I remember looking at it and the screen was all messed up. It was all messed up, you know, there's just a bunch of colors splattered everywhere. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh Lord, you know, I'm just going to pray. And I was like, Lord, this is beyond me. You know, like I can only believe. And I remember hearing somebody say before, you know, you can't try to have faith. And I remember when I heard that, I remember thinking like, you know what, Lord, I can't try to have faith right now, but I can ask you for faith. And I can ask you to take over in this situation and have my, you know, give me the, impart the faith into me to believe you. And I remember there, I just prayed in the spirit and, you know, and just really just, we did a lot of warfare in the spirit that night, and I'm like, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to plug my phone in and charge it, and I'm going to go to bed and wake up, and it's going to be fine. And I looked at it, you know, charging, and the charging screen was just all messed up, and I'm like, well, Lord, I'm just going to believe you. So I got up in the morning, and I looked at my phone, and the screen was back to normal, and my phone was fine, like no problems, nothing. And I tell you what, I've dropped this phone, I don't know how many times, and it's always landed the right way. And there's also been times where the Lord has helped me catch it, like really fast, right before it falls, you know. I mean, the way that it's designed, it's kind of hard to get a grip on it sometimes because it's really thin. But the Lord has shown me something in that about just trusting Him. And at the time, I didn't really know if I was supposed to really step out. It was like, you know, because I was, at the time, the Lord was dealing with me in a lot of areas, legalism and self-works, and I saw a failure in self-works and all that. So I wasn't really 100% sure at the time, but I was like, you know what, Lord, I'm going to believe you for this because I was examining my heart before the Lord and thinking about, well, you know, Lord, it almost seems like if I was to get this, get this coverage on this phone. It's almost like, you know, almost like I'm speaking a curse over my, you know, over my phone or something, like, just in case this happens and I can, you know, just get a replacement or whatever. And I just thought, well, Lord, you know, I'm going to trust you. And so I thought that was really cool what the Lord did there. And he's still working pretty good after how many times I've dropped it and there's no cracks on it or anything. Praise the Lord, you know. I guess I could ask the Lord to get a better, you know, help me get a better grip on my phone, too. That's a new prayer, actually. I might just do that. Anyway, I also have another testimony to tack on to that. This is really interesting.
Awesome.
I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. I got off work, and the warfare at work's been really, really, really intense. And Lord just been having me just teaching me to rest in Him and just let Him lead me in all that I do. And, well, it was interesting. I got off work, and I was going to go pick my daughter up. And I got to the bus station, and I kept feeling like this headache coming on out of nowhere. Like, you know, it's been a while since I've really had one of those. And I felt like, you know, a headache was coming on in my eyes, like the back of my eyes, I could feel this aching. But I was just like, you know, Lord, I'm just going to keep my mind stayed on you. Like, I didn't immediately pray about it or anything. You know, I didn't immediately get into prayer about praying the headache away or anything. I was just like, I'm just going to think about you, Lord. And I guess didn't even feel that I had a headache, but there were times where I would really feel the sharp pain. Well, anyway, at the bus stop, the Lord showed me a demonic spirit, and it had a pretty ridiculous name, actually. But the Lord told me to rebuke this specific spirit, and it wasn't even concerning the headache, but I just said, I rebuked this spirit, and I bound it up. I heard the name once, and then I was like, I don't know about that one, you know. So I was like, well, I leave it in your hands, Lord. And then I heard the name again, and then the Lord told me to rebuke it and bind it up and break its power. And then I felt my headache go away, like, immediately, actually. I felt my headache and the eye ache go away immediately. And I felt like this healing in the back of my head, kind of where my occipital lobe is, like in the back. I just felt like this. Oh, it just felt really good. Praise the Lord. And so I thought that was really cool. Like, I wasn't, you know, I guess just resting in the Lord, like the Lord revealed, like, oh, this is what it is. And the Lord took care of it. So I just want to pray, just praise the Lord for that. And I guess there's another testimony. The Lord reminded me of it, and I shared it with you, Tim.
Go ahead.
Back in, let's see here. Well, it was like concerning what the Lord did with the first, like the faction in 2011. How the Lord like brought some warnings to me and got me out of, you know, really just timely, you know, His spirit being so timely got me out of the snares there. Because I didn't really know what that was. Like, I had no idea what it was back in 2011. Like, I never heard anything about it. And I remember talking to somebody on the phone that was involved with it at one point. And I remember this is really interesting. I remember talking to him on the phone, and I remember, like, I mean, I was going through a lot of warfare during that time. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, hey, brother. I was like, sounds like, it's like I can hear a change in you. Like, there's something in your voice even that sounds different, and sounds like you're doing really well. And he's like, yeah, the Lord's been freeing me from a lot of legalism. And I could, hold on. It's my daughter. and so I was talking to him, and I remember I could hear something in his voice. Like, something was different. Anyway, so we got done talking, and then I think it was maybe that, it was either that day or the day after I heard about what happened. And with the ministry, and I heard about, you know, like, somebody brought up, you know, like there being just the whole thing that happened in 2011 there. And I was like, it was a shaking for me, because I was thinking like, well, geez, I don't know who's right here, you know? And I was like, you know, the people that were involved in it, like the ringleading, you know, the spirits that were using these vessels, like the ringleading spirits, you know, like I fellowshipped with them personally here in Oregon. And the person that I talked to on the phone was, you know, very close as well. And so anyway, I was just kind of torn. It was a real shaking, because I was like, oh, Lord, like, who's right here? Well, so what I did was I stepped back and I said, Lord, I'm going to ask you who's right here, you know? And I really just left it in the Lord's hand, because I didn't know, you know, if David or these individuals were right. I wasn't sure, because I had no idea what was going on. So anyway, I remember going to a Bible study, and it was the parents of the person that I talked to on the phone, which was very, like I said, they were very close with, they ended up being factious and all that too. But I remember going to this Bible study, and at the time I was really wrestling with a lot of legalism and self-works in my walk, like striving and striving and striving. I mean, to the point where, you know, I was fasting continually, and my weight dropped exceedingly. I was even fasting from sleep. I mean, it was bad. It got to the point where I got so tired all the time and didn't have any energy. And so when I went there, once again, I was fasting, and but it wasn't, you know, it was, like I said, it was self-works. And I was sitting among, I remember sitting among the group, and somebody, the lady that had the house, started, you know, saying some stuff about the ministry and about David, and I had no idea, you know, how dangerous that was to be around that. But I just was like, oh, what's going on here, you know? And I remember just feeling so oppressed and, oh, heavy. And they also, the thing was, too, is that they stopped listening to the teachings, and they started bringing in some weird, like, oh, man, it's just some weird teachings. And I just remember, like, man, I don't get a witness on this stuff at all, you know? And I remember, I mean, they could even see it on me, the heaviness. I remember at one point, the lady of the house, she was like, Aaron, are you doing okay? Like, she spotted it. And, hold on just a moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on just a moment. I'll come back in just a minute. I gotta help my daughter here. It'll be just a moment. But whoever wants to talk or whatever can do it.
All right. Does anybody need me to mute them? Okay. I just wanted to make sure there. All right. While he's going, I, you know, when he was sharing as far as on the insurance, I remember same thing. When I used to buy stuff, they would say, oh, for $5 you could have a 2-year warranty, or for $10 you can. And for a while I was doing that. And then I listened to a teaching on insurance and assurance, and I quit doing that. And I remember I had a laptop, and it was, you know, it was, at the time it was very expensive for this laptop, and I kind of wavered in my, you know, in that. And I ended up, I got the insurance on it, because it was, you know, it was like for a 2-year deal, and, you know, and I got the insurance on it, and I had the laptop. And then one day, I don't know, somehow it got knocked off the counter, and the screen on it got smashed. And after a week or two, I remembered, oh, I got that insurance. You know, I was like, all right. And I went, looked up my insurance, and the accident happened, like, it was like a week after I, you know, the 2-year thing was over, and it wasn't covered. And I was like, oh, man. And I was just seeing, you know, Yeah, sometimes, you know, the Lord will meet you at your faith, because even with our hospitalization, when I you know, first came to the realization, am I going to step out in faith, that was a very difficult thing for me. And what I did was I couldn't step out totally. So the first thing I did is I took out a catastrophic, like it was over $10,000 or something like that. I had coverage, but it was kind of my baby step into stepping out in faith and trusting the Lord. And, you know, so that was kind of a baby step. And then after that, I dropped it all together and just trusted in the Lord. So sometimes it'll just kind of, you know, you got to kind of walk into it and that, but once you step out, it's pretty awesome just to trust in Him as far as on things like that. So, all right. Does anybody have something to share while Aaron's taking care of his daughter? Well, I'll share one thing, and that is today Trish and I were in a Bible study, and we were in John 8. And at the end of John 8, it says, I don't know where to start. The Jews, it's started 50, says, the Jews therefore said unto him, thou art not 50 years old. He's talking to Jesus. And hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. They took up stones, therefore, to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. And when I read that, it's like they took up stones and then Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. And I realized that they had a stockpile of stones inside the temple. Like, what are they doing with stones inside the temple? So apparently stoning was more common than we think. I don't know. But I saw that and thought it was kind of interesting. So, does anybody know why they kept stones in the temple? What do you got, Michael?
Oh, not much.
I'll make a comment on it, Tim.
Okay, all right.
Now, are you talking about where it said there was not the sound of stone or hammer at the building site?
No, this is when he was talking about, Jesus. No, this was at the end of 8. He says, Jesus said unto him, now we know that thou hast a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets, and those say, if a man keeps my word, he shall never taste of death. He was talking about, being there with Abraham. And he was in the temple teaching, and they picked up stones to stone him. And
oh, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. But I just saw, and those are the type of things. I mean, you're reading the Word, and you see something like that, and all of a sudden the Lord brings that to your, it's like gives you that revelation. It's like, what are they doing with stones in the temple? So you got any comment on that, Michael, or any thought on that?
Are you talking to me?
No, I was talking to Michael Montana.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were.
But I think you were.
Well, it could be. I know when I'm out in the woods, I always carry something with me in case I see a bear. Maybe they figure they're going to see a heretic, so they carry their stones with them.
Well, I was thinking, well, what happened if Goliath showed up?
So, yeah, so just, stuff like that is as you read the Word and you see things and it just pops for you like you never saw it before, just go ahead and bring it forth. So it's like, wow. All right, Aaron, are you back yet?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Praise the Lord. Thanks for bearing with me on that.
That's all right.
Tried to help her with some stuff, so. Anyway, I was just, I just felt like the Lord was just really wanting me to share all this, so. What's that?
Yeah, just go ahead. You were talking about you went to the Bible study, and
yeah,
she was discerning something on you.
Yeah, she made the comment like first. It was just kind of like everybody just kind of stopped and looked at me too. She was like, "Are you Aaron? Are you doing all right?" You know, and I really was. I really didn't feel very good. I mean, like I said, I wasn't eating very much. I wasn't sleeping very much. I just felt this great heavy oppression in the atmosphere. I mean, it was very tormenting. And I just said, yeah, I'm doing fine. Because, you know, I was speaking faith. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing fine. she just kind of gave me this look like, all right. they started playing this teaching. And it wasn't from the Lord. I just know that. It definitely wasn't from the Lord. The interesting thing was I was so tired. I ended up falling asleep during it, during the fellowship, because my body was so weak. And so I got up after, I think it was in the middle of that teaching or after, I don't remember. I got up and I went to use the bathroom. And I remember I went to leave the bathroom and I had this open vision that just, oh man, it scared me. I saw this darkness all, like it was all around me, and I saw this giant hole in the middle, you know, like, or in front of me, I should say, in the middle of this darkness, and I felt death, and I felt torment, death, and just, I was in so much fear. It was almost knee crippling, like I could have just, my knees could have buckled, and I could have fallen on the floor right there, and this hole was like a funnel, like the shape of a funnel, like, you know, basically you could slide into it if you weren't careful. And I just, I was so tormented. And I was like, oh, Lord. I was just like, Lord, what did I do wrong? I had so much condemnation in my walk. I mean, about every little thing. Like, if I ate something that tasted good at this point, I mean, I'm telling you, you know, at one point I wasn't even seasoning my food. That's how much I was bound up in this legalism, you know, because I didn't want there to be any, you know, I was reading those scriptures that talk about, you know, dying to the flesh, you know, dying to self, I was wanting to die to any kind of self, you know, selfish pleasures or anything. And I took that, I was in such an off balance on that. I had such a mixed perception about that, and there was just not a lot of rest. And so I was pretty scared, and I left the fellowship, and I just saw this. I mean, I was just on everybody in the fellowship there. There was just this darkness, and I remember like being so freaked out when I got home. I was like, I wanted to go to work, you know, with something in my stomach, but I was so freaked out from that. I was like, oh, Lord, I was like looking at this can of beans, and I'm like, Lord, I'm not eating anything. I was like, Lord, you know, what have I done wrong here? And I was really freaked out, a lot of condemnation. And anyway,
let me interrupt you, Aaron, because you shared with me that you were in so much legalism that if food tasted good, that was bad. That was, you know, that was would bring enjoyment to the flesh, so you wouldn't eat it. Or sleep was comfort, and you didn't want to have too much comfort because that was pleasing to the flesh, so you weren't sleeping. So you were you were really bound up in just heavy legalism.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would maybe get an hour or two, you know, here and there, but I would just try to stay awake and pray and read the Word. And but a lot of the times I would try to read the Word and I end up falling asleep, and I'd wake up and be like, oh, Lord, forgive me, I fell asleep. You know, the scriptures are the scripture about how the disciples fell asleep when Jesus told them to stay awake, you know, like certain scriptures would come to my mind, like the devil is really twisting everything. And there was one point where I was so bound up in it that I was like, Lord, I feel comfortable sitting inside here. So I would get up. I mean, it would be maybe midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd get up and I'd walk around outside for hours just praying and But it was in the cold, too, and it's because I didn't want any comfort. I mean, that's how bad it was. And there was one night where this place, oh, by the way, I was, you know, at this time I didn't have my own place. I was staying with a few people that were helping me out. And so when everybody went to bed, I would go out. There it got to the point where I'd go out and just sit outside on the porch because, to me, that was very uncomfortable. You know, I would just sit out and pray and be like, oh, you know, I don't want to give in to any pleasure here. And I mean, it was that bad. And so anyway, like when this whole faction thing happened, I was just really, I had a lot of letter of the word in me. Like the spirit of the word, I didn't really understand what that was. And I didn't really have any kind of a perception of that. It was all the letter of the word. Like, I need to get as much time as possible in before the tribulation with the word. I need to get as much possible time in with prayer. I need to, like, do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. And I started to see it crumble before me. I started to crumble. I got really weak, you know, and fasting all the time. Anyway, so what happened was is when I heard about this thing, I was like, okay, I'm going to just step back and see. I'm going to have you reveal who's right here, Lord. Because it was like I couldn't believe what was said. So, by the way, the place that I was staying in, it was a married couple, and the sister, it was a sister of the, there was some people that I knew that were involved in the faction, and it was their sister. So those spirits were kind of working their way through the family, kind of working their way through all that. And hold on just a moment. I'm sorry, guys.
Apparently the enemy doesn't want Aaron to get this testimony out because it is a good testimony. Because he was really sharing with me how, you know, he was just really bound up in legalism and in works and in condemnation. And he was only sleeping an hour or two a night, and he wasn't eating, and he was getting weaker and sicker. And this was all for the Lord. And it was pretty twisted as far as the trap he was in. And part of it was, you know, some of the teachings, not of this ministry, but some previous teachings he had through, you know, one of the factious people. And it really got him bound up in legalism. So, Aaron, are you back yet?
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right.
Basically, from this point on, I sought the Lord in prayer, and so, you know, while this faction thing was going on, I was really on that legalism trip and just hit with condemnation left and right. I mean, there was one night where I was on the phone with Chad fellowshipping, and demonic attacks in the house were just amping up, and I remember at one point I felt like my whole body had this icy cold. It was almost like ice was going through my veins, like this demonic attack. And I remember feeling this great discomfort. And I remember telling him about it, and he just encouraged me to keep swinging the sword against the enemy. But, I mean, it was like, very painful. And I'm like, oh, what is this? And there was one day, this is really interesting, the Lord started to kind of reveal everything at this point, because I talked to a few of the people that were starting to fall into faction, but I was also fellowshipping with Chad at the time, and I noticed a difference between going to the house, that I was staying in, and then going and fellowshipping with Chad, like the atmosphere. The Lord started really showing me that, and it was around the time that I remember, like, the factious attack thing came out, and I wasn't really picking that up at the time. I was just seeking the Lord. And then at one point, the Lord really wanted me to pick it up and start reading it. So I did. And I remember, like, feeling really, feeling peace come over my body when I was reading this thing. And the Lord started showing me visions, actually, as I remember reading this thing. And some of the visions that the Lord showed me in the spirit actually he showed me that were in some of these dreams, in some of these testimonies, even before I even read that. And that's what I thought was interesting. Like, even before I read that thing, you know, it was like, oh, Lord, I saw that in the spirit. One of those things was I saw this, remember one time I saw this black serpent in the spirit, and that was like the first time I think that might have been the first time the Lord really ever showed me a demonic spirit like that. And I saw this black serpent, and I was like, oh, what is that? And it come to find out that Frank Thornton had a dream where he went into a meeting with all the, you know, like, there's something about all the, oh, that's right, the factious people invited him into this meeting, and he didn't give into it or partake of it whatsoever and left, and that he had a dream where he went and saw a bunch of black serpents that were trying to bite him. The Lord showed me it was a factious spirit, and so the Lord also started to show me that the place I was staying, I mean, I would go there and I would see in the spirit, I would see like spider webs all over the place. The place would look really old and dead and just, you know, but, you know, in the natural, it looked just fine. But in the spirit, the Lord was showing me the condition of the place. When I go over and see Chad and fellowship with him, I would start to see the tormenting visions and what I was seeing in the spirit change. And it would be like, very edifying things. I would just be really uplifted, and I would just see, you know, even the things I was seeing, you know, visually in the spirit would be different. It would just be edification and encouragement. And, you know, I'd see things like a candle being lit, and the Lord was talking about, you know, the fire of his spirit, you know, and just all kinds of things like that. I remember seeing like a bowl full of precious jewels and gold, and the Lord was talking about how we're, you know, the bowl could represent a person even, and just being filled up with the riches of the kingdom, just stuff like that. When I go back over to their place, things would change, and I'd start seeing this deadness and this coldness, and I'd start slipping back into legalism again. Because the interesting thing was, when I was around Chad and fellowshipping, all of a sudden I would feel like there was no more condemnation. I'd be like, wait a second, I feel like I could just eat a whole meal right now. Oh, Lord, thank you. And then I would be like, Lord, I feel like I could eat something that tastes good. You know, it's just, there was such a difference. And I started to get a lot of freedom in that. And he started sharing little bits and pieces here. And at the time, I wasn't 100% sure. I was like, well, Lord, I still really want to seek you and see what you say about it. And so there was one time, this is really interesting, and it's like, the Lord was using Chad to sow seeds into me about everything, because it was so, like I said, I had no idea. It was so foreign to me what was going on here, you know, because my thought process was, well, you know, we're to love one another, and, you know, the love and the kindness and the gentleness and the, you know, which is all true. But the Lord, I had no idea about the Bible talking about, you know, about where there can be danger in having fellowship with, you know, factious people. And because my thought process was like, oh, we got to love everybody and show kindness. And well, we do, but at the same time, it has to be through the Spirit of the Lord. It has to be through the you know, the Lord has to be the Lord's love and gentleness. And we can't partake of the table of demons and be, you know, and also partake of the table of the Lord. And it's just, some of those scriptures like that are just totally, they're just ignored, or they don't really have a lot of the church doesn't have a fruitful understanding of what that really is. And so anyway, one day, I mean, I was in this little park, and I was just kind of torn once again, just battling a lot of condemnation. Like I said, I was so heavy all the time, no joy, no, I couldn't even put a smile on my face a lot of the time. It just, I felt really zombified. And I just had this thought, like, and at this time the Lord was showing me about, you know, like coming out of legalism and about what it was. And so I had this thought process in my mind, like, well, Lord, I've never really, you know, I think at this time my daughter was maybe about 2 or 3, and, you know, well, 2000, anyway, I'm not trying to figure out how old she was, but anyway, I was thinking, okay, I'm gonna I'm going to go down and go to the store. I'm going to take this. And I mean, it must have been a good sized walk to the store and go get her some clothes. You know, go get her some stuff because I wasn't really doing that too much at the time because I had this fear of we're not going to be able to buy or sell with the world. You know, that sort of thing. So I'm like, oh Lord, should I do that? Am I going to be Lord, I want to be pleasing to you in all that I do. I mean, Lord, you can provide. And it just wasn't the spirit of God, you know, putting that confusion on me. So I kept going back and forth remember, I would take some steps towards where I could go, you know, like on the direction of going to the store. And then I'd be like, oh, wait a second, Bible study is going to be coming on. I haven't listened to one of those in about a month. And maybe I should just listen and just see, you know, and so I would take a couple of steps back that way, and I mean, I did that several times, and eventually I was like, Lord, I'm going to go and just go listen to the Bible study. It's coming on. So I went in and I listened, and I remember within the first 5 minutes of listening to David come on and start sharing about, you know, because at this time it was really, there was a lot of factious marking going on. And I wasn't listening to, I guess I didn't really hear a lot of it, but on this particular study, I heard some of it. But I felt this tremendous peace and joy all of a sudden pour out on me. And this, I mean, the Spirit of the Lord. And I was like, oh, Lord, I hadn't felt this for a while. Like, I hadn't felt refreshment. And like, wow. I was like, this is amazing. And I was just like, oh, Lord, this is awesome. I mean, I felt such a release, a relief, and just a refuge in the Lord. I mean, it was very uplifting and very edifying at the time, and I didn't feel all this condemnation, like the condemnation broke, and all those, you know, just whatever was coming at me at the time just broke, and I was able to just sit there and rest and receive. And I remember person in the lady in the house, like that I was staying at, the married couple, she got on the phone and, like, listened a little bit, and I was like, hey, didn't you, because she was kind of curious what I was listening to, and I was like, hey, didn't you just feel that, like, the presence and peace and the joy of the Lord just sweep in this place? She's like, well, I didn't really feel that, and I was like, Lord, I know I felt it. Like, praise you, Lord, I know I felt it. And so anyway, it got to the point where the Lord started showing me in the spirit that there is these demonic spirits that were in the sisters that were part of the faction were also being imparted to the other family members. And so the atmosphere that I was staying at became increasingly uncomfortable, and I started feeling like I was starting to fall. I mean, I was in legalism, you know, of course, like to a great degree, but I started to notice something different. And I mean, I noticed that I was starting to just, it's like I felt like I couldn't go further with the Lord in that atmosphere, because every time I would go there, I'd feel this deadness and coldness. And like I said, I would see these things in the spirit. And also I started asking the Lord for a confirmation. You know, confirmations like, Lord, do you really want me to leave here? You know, is this, Lord, you know, I mean, and the Lord started confirming things to me. Once I started asking him, he started confirming things to me about, you know, if you have a plant growing next to a bunch of weeds, well, the weeds are going to sap the plant of all the energy or whatever it is, you know, and just all kinds of things like that. The Lord spoke something through somebody on the bus one time that I got on got on the bus, and somebody started sharing something that actually I was like, they don't realize it, Lord, but they're sharing it. They're giving me a confirmation. Praise you, Lord. And I had my mind made up. I'm like, Lord, I need to go out. I need to get out of here. I didn't have anywhere to stay. I mean, the door was closing on staying at my mom's place. I was also getting a lot of unrest over there too. And the Lord showed me a demonic spirit over there. And so I was in this place where I'm like, Lord, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to just, you're going to show me what to do. And I told him, I'm like, you know, I have another place, and here's the key. And I, you know, when I told them that I had another place, I knew, you know, I was speaking that in faith. They didn't know that, but I was speaking it in faith because I felt like I was too wounded and broken at the time to be able to share anything of what was going on. I mean, I was not in a position to try to explain everything that I was seeing, and I was in a place where I needed to get healing and I needed to get deliverance. And so I handed them the keys and I left, and I left. And I went out on the streets for a little while. I was still in a lot of legalism, but the Lord started showing me some things about, you know, actually I went out there as well because I didn't want any comfort. As you know, this was part of that whole thing too. Like, well, Jesus didn't have a resting place for his head. And I thought, well, I won't either, you know, like I'll just, you know, I mean, it was that bad. Well, and I remember one time, part of the confirmation was too, is that I remember like around the time that a lot of the people were turning factious, I remember like one of my friends, the family that I was, the married couple that I was staying with, the sisters of that, you know, like, I mean, those people, that family I've known since I was 8 years old, very long-term friends. And so one of them calls me up one time and says, and I remember like picking up the phone, and I was at work too. And they're like, can you believe that they're saying we're factious and blah, blah, blah. And when she said that, I felt all of a sudden like something came out of the phone or something. And I felt like a bunch of insects biting me all over my face. And I felt this stinging all over my face and this torment jump on me. And I was like, oh, Lord. I was like, not her too. I'm like, Lord, oh, Lord. And I was just kind of, I didn't say anything. I just kind of was like, yeah, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, I was like, well, I'm going to be praying for everybody and about everything. And I got off the phone, and that was the last time I talked to her for a very long time. And the Lord actually, not too long ago, had a, you know, there was a separation, you know, like, for sure. And, but anyway, at this, I mean, the Lord just told me, don't get in contact anymore. And then I had a storage unit with, basically one of the factious people, there was like, one of their families, and there was somebody I had a storage unit with, and like I said, the spirit was spreading to everybody. And so I had this fear about talking to anybody. Ever since that happened with my friend, I was like, oh, Lord, I don't think I can talk to any of them, because I feel like if I do, I'm going to have that experience again. And Lord, you showed me that there could be spirits transferred through words, you know, and I was just like, really, at this time, the Lord was showing me a lot in the spirit about how the demons work and how they use hosts. And, well, I remember one time I was like, I would just listen to the messages that this person would leave, like, basically, like, the person that I had the storage unit with was, they were like saying, okay, we want to get our stuff out of there, we need the keys. You know, they were really wanting to get a hold of me, but I was in this place where I'm like, Lord, I feel like if I talk to them, I'm going to get beat up by a bunch of demons. And and so anyway, I finally did answer the phone one time, and at the moment I answered the phone, I heard one of them talking, and he was saying, oh, we've been trying to get a hold of you for a while, and we need the keys and blah, blah, blah. Like, why, you know, why haven't you returned our calls? And when they were talking, I saw a vision of this demonic spirit all of a sudden, and it was like, it had all black, had these big black dark eyes, this dark cape, and it was staring straight at me. And I realized the Lord quickened in my spirit and said that was one of the ringleading spirits of the faction. And the Lord revealed to me that spirit was trying to use an open door. And And then I felt that demonic, I felt like a bunch of bugs crawling all over me again and biting me, and just tormented. I got off the, before that, I was in prayer a lot. I remember before I talked to that person, I was just really lifting my heart to the Lord, and I started to feel a little bit of breakthrough and joy come over me. But once I got done talking to him, and I wasn't talking to him very long, maybe about 10 minutes, because they were just saying, okay, we're going to get all this stuff out. Oh, that was part of it. That's right. We're going to get all this stuff out. We need you to sign. We need your permission, you know, to, like, sign the paper. And there was some kind of a paperwork thing involved. And I just said, oh, yeah, go ahead. You know, it's fine. Thank you for letting me know. Here's the keys, you know. And anyway.
Amen. Yesterday. Well, I never win anything, but I'll still sign up.
And then I got off, I got off the phone and I felt a lot of just confusion hitting me. I felt a lot of torment. I was just being tormented. I felt all that stuff again. And I was like, Lord, have mercy on all these people. They don't even know, Lord. They don't even know. They don't even know what's coming in. They don't even see what's coming. You know, a lot of these people in these families, that, you know, the few families that were infected here, there were Christians in these families, but they were very, there wasn't really any life of the Spirit. There wasn't any discernment. There was a lot of worldliness. So they didn't even see the attack coming. They didn't even know. They had not the slightest clue what was going on. And so, you know, I got to this point where I'm like, well, I need to keep no contact. I need to have no more contact. And so when I went out there on the streets and I was just roaming around asking the Lord about what to do, and the Lord gave me a lot of peace, a lot of joy at that time. The Lord started showing me things in the Spirit about there being spirits on certain properties and specific spirits working on certain avenues and streets, and He would show me things when I would go into a building or a specific business in the spirit of what was in the atmosphere there. And I would continually ask the Lord, like, Lord, is this really what I'm seeing? Because if this is my imagination, then I don't want anything to do with it. And I kept asking and just lifting it to the Lord. And, he, you know, the Lord would confirm it. And, and what was really interesting, by the way, was when the Lord finally had me cut ties with all the factious people, because I remember I shared on the phone with Chad one night. I said, brother, I got a dream last night about the two factious leaders, and they're not the same people in this dream. There was no life, there was no deadness, no love in their eyes at all. And he said, well, brother, I think the Lord has finally confirmed it to you about who, you know, about what happened. And I said, I think you're right, brother. I think you're right. So I cut ties with all the people that were in the faction and just all of that. I just said, you know, I renounced it all. Every tie that I cut, I felt oppression breaking off of me. I felt the legalism breaking off of me. I felt the condemnation breaking off. I felt all this. I felt so much deliverance from separating my heart from cutting the ties with these people. I had the peace and the joy of the Lord again, like I hadn't felt for a while. Kind of, you know, when I heard it on the call that time I was telling you about, when the Lord poured his peace and joy out again, I had that again, and I was like, well, Lord, I feel like this is a confirmation to me that I was attached to that, you know. There was like an open door for all these spirits. And from then on, the Lord started doing, there had to be that separation. Before, when I was in all, you know, when I was in that place of seeking and not, you know, there was a lot of warfare. And when I was in that house and all that, and I was talking to those people, you know, there was a lot of torment, a lot of confusion. There was just a lot, I mean, it was very tormenting. I couldn't think on or focus on the Lord at all in prayer. And once the ties were cut, then the Lord started doing, give me some victory in a lot of areas. And then the Lord started showing me some things in the Spirit. And interestingly enough, one night, out on the streets, and this is when I was out on the streets, so I was prayer walking. And I mean, I would prayer walk for hours. I'd be exhausted, but I wanted to keep going. I just wanted to serve the Lord with all of my heart. And I didn't. I just would ignore the pain. I didn't even want to sit down because I knew if I sat down and leaned my head up against a wall, I'd probably instantly fall asleep. I mean, I just wanted to keep going, and I wanted to keep going, and I just, it was so much self-striving. But at the same time, the Lord had mercy on me because he used all this to show me some things, like amidst all of my foolishness and that and trying, the Lord still used it, and it actually, like, I saw the Lord showed me, you know, how it had to, that had to happen. Like, the Lord was showing me, like, you had to go through this for me to, you had to go through this because he wanted to reveal what was in my heart, and he wanted to show me a different dynamic about the word, that it's not the letter of the word, the spirit of the word that gives life. It's not trying to keep these ordinances, even laws that sound really good, and it might even seem like a New Testament law, or it might even seem like a good thing to be under, you know, it might even seem like it would have some virtue and some good fruits that would come out of it. But the Lord showed me that really the only way we can walk in truth and really walk in life is through the Spirit, you know, that it's the Spirit of the Word that gives life and the letter kills. And I started to really see that, oh, the letter kills. It's the same word. It's just a different perspective. It's like it's just that deadness of, you know, that religious trying to please the Lord that can't happen. It has to be the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ. It has to be Christ in us pleasing himself. And so anyway, I was out on the streets one night walking, and it was freezing out. The wind was blowing really strong. I mean, it was near freezing temperatures. I think it probably was about freezing temperatures. And I felt too much comfort in wearing my coat. So I'm like, well, Lord, I want to be going through the fire here. So I took my coat off and freezing, just, oh, man. And I couldn't go very far doing that. So I came to a bus stop and I sat down. And I, at the time, I had my laptop with me because I would go to the library and get on and, like, you know, when I was able to, I would get on and just get on the internet and, like, listen to teaching, you know, UVM teachings, and read, you know, a lot on there on the UVM site. And I was really hungry for the Lord the whole time, and I was really seeking him with all of my heart. And so I was sitting down at this bus stop, and I had my laptop on me, and I had this one coat, and so I put my head in my coat, my arms in my coat, and just kind of laid there, just kind of sat up, you know, and tried to maybe get an hour or two in. And I heard this voice, maybe about a half hour into me trying to go to sleep, and it was this guy's like, hey, what's going on? And the first thought that I had was, oh, it's probably a cop. It's like, well, Lord, give me grace, and poked my head out of my coat, and it was this guy, and it was like, are you all right, man? He's like, are you doing okay? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing fine. You know, I'm speaking in faith. I'm like, oh, I'm doing fine, you know? And he's like, do you need to ride anywhere? Or, you know, like, can I get you something to drink or eat or something? I mean, because at this time, my face was starting to sink in. I mean, I was not eating very much, all the walking I was doing. And so, you know, it was like, my thought was, well, the scripture talks about, you know, the Lord being our protector. And so I was like, oh, all right, I'll be just fine. So I get in the car and we drive around and, you know, we go to a few places and get some, you know, some food. And I'm just, you know, and there was a point where this guy was telling me, like, man, you need to be careful. He's like, you don't look so good at all. He's like, can I go get you something to eat? And I mean, I ate a little bit, you know, but I needed more, I know. And he was just like, man, can I get you some soup or something? I know a really good place that has some chili. And I was like, in my mind, I was thinking, no, you won't, Satan. It was that bad. And, you know, he was really concerned, and he said, you know, man, you need to be careful. You need to eat something. You need to, you know, do not. I mean, he could tell. I mean, I was becoming skin and bones here. And so it got to this point where we stopped. I had to use the restroom. And I remember getting back into the car and we left. And then he said, hey, I said, you know what, I have to go and get my daughter now. Can you drive me over to Beaverton? And he's like, yeah, I'll drive you over there. And so he drove me over to Beaverton. And, I mean, a lot of the times, too, when I would go and get my girl, when I was out on the streets, I would be going and getting her for a couple of days. And, I would go and get her for, you know, like the day. And, I mean, I would be off of, like, barely any sleep. And just, I remember one time the baby's mom called me, and I was laying down on the, kind of laying my head against the window on the light rail system we have, the TriMet system. She called me and she said, oh, can you come and get Athena? And I just said, you know, I said, yeah, okay, I will. And I just told her, I'm sorry, I'm out here and I've only had a couple of hours of sleep, but I'll go and get her anyway. And so I would, over the weekend, because I still had, at this point, I had maybe 2 days of work a week. It wasn't enough to get me anything. And I would go and get her and spend the day with her, and just, it would be a blessed time, but I was so drained and tired, and I'd go and drop her off in the evening, and I'd go back the next, you know, I'd go and maybe get a couple of hours sleep the next, after dropping her off at her place, and then go and get her again and spend the day with her, and I would do that for a couple of days, maybe 3 days, and then go back to just prayer walking and all that, and anyway, so this guy drops me off, he leaves, and I get in, and I have my backpack and my laptop bag, like I said, and I get in, you know, and I think I went into, like, a Safeway or a Fred Meyer's or something. I don't think you guys have those out. Anyway, it's just a grocery store, and I went in, and I remember, like, looking in my laptop bag, and I noticed that my black binder that was in my backpack was put in there. And I looked in my backpack, and I used to have this little, like, Clip Plus thing. It's something you can put music and teachings on and all kinds of stuff, little MP3 player, and that was gone. My laptop was gone. I had a bunch of teachings on it. My laptop had a bunch of dreams on it. It had a bunch of stuff on it. And I felt, at that moment, my heart breaking. I was like, what is this? Like, what's going on here? And I was like, yeah, all right, yep, I know what happened here. And so, anyway, like, I really had to cast down unforgiveness. I really had to cast down. The Lord used it as a chastening to get me out of my legalism. I even lost my Bible when I was out there because the Lord was saying, I need you to stop trying to focus on this, and there's some other things you need to focus on. You know, you need to seek me, and because I was just reading scripture and scripture and scripture, but I wasn't getting anything out of it. Like, I felt like I just needed to be in it all the time. But the Lord was saying, you know, that you're trying in your own works to, you know, and so I ended up losing my Bible when I was out there, even. And I mean, the Lord really brought a lot of chastening. At the same time, the Lord had a lot of mercy because I didn't have any understanding of what I was in and what I was doing, you know, and the Lord had his loving kindness there, and the Lord actually was doing stuff. He was using all of this for the good, but I went through a lot of pain and suffering, and even, you know, physically, spiritually, emotionally, the whole time I was, this whole time. And so anyway, I just had to really forgive this guy, and I noticed, being out on the streets there, that he must have got a hold of my PIN number or something, because my money out of my bank account started to disappear. I put my checks in, I didn't have very much, you know, it'd be gone. And then I started to feel a lot of brokenness there, and I'm like, Lord, you know, what's going on? And I didn't feel like I should report it. I was like, Lord, now, what did David do in a lot of his circumstances? He just left it to you. Now, David, King David, he left it to you, Lord. He released the burden to you, and you took care of it every time, Lord. And so there was one time where I remember trying to get on the, you know, and I mean, this was maybe about a year later, and I mean, he was picking stuff out consistently. Eventually, I stopped putting money in. I would get overdraft fees, though, on my account almost every check. Like, I would have to give him $50 or more every check because there would be an overdraft fee because my account would be under the $25 minimum at the time. And so I really battled that. And really lifted, I started really praying for this guy. I said, Lord, guy, you know, when I saw him, he wasn't in good condition. He was, you know, I could see a hurting soul big time. You know, and even before he dropped me off that day, he had this look in his eyes of pain and sadness, like he knew what he was going to do. And he knew that I had a daughter too. And I also gave him, the Lord put it on my heart just to love him while I was in the car, you know, and like when we go, I got him food, you know, I would get him stuff at the store, you know, the Lord just gave me a heart to love this guy. And then he did that. So he had this look of, he just had this sad look in his eyes when he dropped me off that day, and he gave me this number that wasn't even his. And, you know, anyway, so I tried to buy these CDs one time online, and I thought, well, maybe, you know, like, maybe everything's cleared out, Lord, like the waters are cleared here. And so I put money into my account, and then I went to go buy them the next day, or like not even that long from then, or from when I put it in, and it was gone again. And I was like, this is when I was really hit with that unforgiveness and that anger. And I said, Lord. And at this point, too, I wasn't on the streets anymore. Somebody opened their home to me. There's a whole other thing about that, too. But I really released him in my heart. I said, Lord, I realized I could either become very angry and just hate, you know, a lot of hatred towards this guy, or I could love him and pray for him and just ask that the Lord would have mercy on him and take care of the whole situation. And Lord, that the Lord would draw him unto himself, convict him, get him out of the world. And I did that. I just really prayed for this guy fervently from my heart. And I felt like a release in my heart. Like I felt like the Lord did something there. The Lord was cleaning me, you know, cleaning me up. Or the Lord really blocked me from a lot of anger and unforgiveness and hatred that I could have had. And interestingly enough, about maybe 2 months later, I don't remember exactly how long later, but see, when I, at the time, I wasn't putting money into my bank account for a season because, I mean, even the spirits, the spirit of legalism was even trying to convince me, like, well, where's your faith then if you don't put your money into the account? And the Lord was saying, well, the Lord was telling me, you know, there's this aspect of wisdom behind faith. And that wouldn't have been wise at the time because it would have been self-works. And I started to really see that at the time, so I didn't put it in there for a while. But so anyway, there came a point where I put it back in, and I waited and I looked at it. And I mean, I remember putting my whole check, or no, part of, that's right, I put a little bit in at one point. It didn't disappear. I maybe put a couple more $100 in there, and then just didn't disappear again. One point, I was like, Lord, I'm going to put my whole entire check in here, which at the time, I finally had more work, so I had more money to put in, and it didn't disappear. It stayed in there. To this day, I can put money in my account, and it doesn't disappear. The Lord took care of it. The Lord did. This is what's really interesting here about this whole thing. When I went to Tennessee, a dear brother in the Lord, gave me a computer, actually. He just had it on his heart to give it to me. And I was, like, thanking the Lord because it was really on my heart. And I was really asking the Lord before I went there for a computer. I'm like, Lord, I see where I went wrong before. You wanted me to really, I wasn't using what you wanted, you know, in the right way, because Lord, you were wanting me, you know, to make copies of the teachings, and, you know, and I just wasn't it's like the Lord was showing me there was this, like I said, there was so much legalism there that it kind of, like, the Lord allowed me to get chastened and allowed the enemy to steal from me because of that. So this brother gave me this computer, and I was praising the Lord. I was like, Lord, you provided a computer again, like you restored what was taken. And the Lord also, this is really cool. I finally started my, you know, I wasn't dishwashing anymore. I finally started my position over, you know, making coffees. On the other side, there's a restaurant side to where I work, and then there's a bakery side that, you know, people can go to get pastries and coffee and sandwiches and all that. So I started my position over there, and not too long into it, I was working on a very busy day, and this guy comes up to me. He said, like, Aaron? And I was like, yeah. He's like, Aaron Tweedy? And I was like, yeah. And I was kind of looking at him like, do I know you? And he said, do you remember the red Subaru? And he had tears. It looked like he was going to start just tearing up and crying right there. He said, do you remember the red Subaru? I said, yeah. And I said, what do you mean? And he's like, do you remember the red Subaru? And all of a sudden it made sense. I could see who it was, and it was that guy that stole from me. And he said, listen, man, I've done a lot of bad things to a lot of people. I've hurt a lot of people. I've done a lot of bad things, and I'm really sorry. I could see this remorse over him, like he wanted just to bust out crying right there. And I was like, wow. I didn't expect it. I was like, Lord, oh Lord, thank you. And he said, here, man, I'm so sorry. Here's my number. You can call me. Maybe we can get together and hang out and talk. And he looked really, like his heart hurt really bad. And the Lord did something there. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, for the way that I could run into this guy again, I mean, it was amazing. And I did talk to him again. I'm gonna probably call him again pretty soon here, but I did talk to him, and he's a different person. I haven't talked to him enough to know where he's at with the Lord right now, but I feel like the Lord's preparing him at least. The Lord's doing something there, and I told him on the phone. I said, I told him because he said he was really sorry, and I just said, you know, I'm like, yeah, it hurt really bad when I first realized that when the realization came to me, that I told him, man, I forgive you. I forgave you the whole time. I prayed for you, and I did nothing but pray for you and ask the Lord to have mercy on you. And it just sounded like he was really broken up there about all that. But I'm praying and just believing for this guy. And I feel like the Lord is going to have us hang out again pretty soon, or I should say hang out pretty soon, and the Lord's going to do something there. Just kind of had a lot of stuff going on recently to where it's been hard to get in contact, but I just wanted to share all that. I mean, there's more stuff, but, you know, I mean, I kind of used a lot of the time here, so maybe some other day I'll share some more stuff, but the Lord told me, he wanted me to share that tonight about loving and forgiving our enemies, and that the Lord can use that. And I mean, there was a testimony. There was a testimony of somebody's witness of heaven and hell that I recently read. And this person, they were in hell, and like, you know, the Lord was showing them one of their relatives. And she said that it was her great grandma, her grandma. And she said, Lord, why is she in here? Like, now, what has she done that's so bad? And the Lord said, she didn't forgive. And the Lord said, there's a lot. The Lord said, because unforgiveness can cause others to come here too. And the Lord was basically making a statement about how this person's unforgiveness brought other people into that place of torment. And if she would have forgiven, then the Lord could have used that to draw others to himself. And the Lord just showing me so much about forgiveness, about loving our enemies, praying for those that persecute us, praying for those that that despitefully use us, you know, turning the other cheek. And anyway, I just wanted to share all that. Praise the Lord. Thanks for listening. Love everybody.
I love you too, man. That was awesome. But I mean, I think it's really neat how, you know, when Aaron was going through the you know, that whole factious thing, he really didn't understand it. And but he sought the Lord and asked the Lord to lead him, to show him. And you know, he didn't seek man. He sought the Lord. And I think that you know, some of the things that the Lord was showing him in the spirit, I mean, he was caught up in legalism. And I think we talked about this, but I think the Lord opened his eyes to the spirit. And part of the reason, you know, of the Lord opening Aaron's eyes in the spirit is because he was fasting all the time. I mean, he was, you know, he was really dying to his flesh. I know a lot of it was in legalism, but through that fasting, is that true, Aaron? I mean, that was a big part of the Lord opening your eyes in the spirit realm.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like the Lord, despite my self-works and all that, it's like the Lord was still using, it's like the Lord was still using everything for his glory, and that I really was, by the grace of the Lord, I mean, I was hyper-focusing on Christ as to the best ability I could. I mean, just hyper-focusing on him. I mean, there was a lot of stuff like bondages and some other areas that were just falling off, that just really fell off of me. I mean, I used to be heavily into video games. I used to be heavily into entertainment. And my mind used to revolve nothing. You know, it's like my mind would revolve around lust constantly. And there were these other areas that were just, the Lord was just, like the Lord, yeah, the Lord still used all that because, you know, it's like to him that knows to do good and does it not, you know, to him it is sin. And so the Lord was showing me the difference between self-works and like the works of his spirit. But he was still using what little might that I could throw in. Just like that one woman, you know, just like that woman, when all the Pharisees threw in all of their, you know, all their precious treasures and all of, all that into, into the treasury. There's that one woman that threw in the mite, and Jesus said she threw in more than they all. And what little I had at the time, and what I knew in the Lord, that little it's such a small amount. I mean, I'm not saying I know anymore. You know, the Lord. If any man thinks that he knows anything, you know, he knows not yet as he ought to know. So it's like, it's just, there was some things that I wasn't seeing, and it's like the Lord was having mercy, and it's like there was no condemnation for even any of that. But yet at the same time, the Lord says he chastens those whom he loves. And so at the same time, it's like the Lord was chastening me at the same time as he was also blessing me and showing me, it's like the Lord just put a great hunger and love in my heart, and desire in my heart to really seek him. And yeah, and the fasting and all that too. The Lord was still using, it's like the Lord was still using that to a degree. And at the same time, the Lord was bringing correction to me too, and showing me like, this is what true, you know, this, it's like, you don't have to try to do this. So it was like for a season, it's like the renewing of the conscience, you know, like David has shared so many times about following your conscience. See, I was just following my conscience and what I knew to do right, and the Lord was blessing me through that. You know, I was following my conscience. I was doing what I thought was right and what I knew was right, and I was following the Word as best as I could, and the Lord was still using that. And there was a lot of dying to self, and I did see how abstaining from things like that too was actually bringing me into a place of submission before the Lord, and really seeing things in the spirit. Like it actually, a lot of the times when I was fasting, I would see a lot of stuff in the spirit. It's just like the Lord was showing me, like the Lord was showing me at the same time it was going to be only for a season. So, anyway.
Amen. Well, Aaron, I appreciate you sharing. I mean, that's an awesome testimony. And I don't know how many of us, you know, when somebody ripped off our laptop and started cleaning out our bank account, could really forgive that person. I mean, that is just, you know, one heck of a trial. But not only forgive that person, but continue to pray and believe that the Lord is going to work in them and work in the bank account. And, you know, to put money back in there after you know it's being drained out, see it go again, and then just continue to pray. I mean, that's just crucifying the flesh. And a lot of us would just want to justify and, you know, call the police and, you know, just get our way and get a, you know, vengeance and not see the Lord in it. But I think it's awesome that, you know, after that trial and after he showed, you know, he worked on that guy's heart. And I think it's pretty amazing. I mean, if you rip somebody off, you stole their computer, you stole their iPod, you know, stole from them, and you saw them working in a restaurant, I mean, most thieves would turn and go the other way. And this guy was broken to a point where he called you out and you didn't even recognize him, and he told you who he was and told, you know, basically apologized, came to repentance, said he was sorry, and he was tearing up and saying, man, I hurt a lot of people. I mean, that's just all the Lord. I mean, you're praying for somebody. I mean, that's another testimony of a just total answered prayer, that the Lord did that for you, you know, just because you were, you know, you fought that flesh and fought through that unforgiveness and, you know, prayed for that person. So it's a great testimony for us that in these trials, when we, you know, run across people that wronged us, people that have hurt us, you know, if we truly forgive, if we truly pray for these people, if we truly get our heart right, the Lord can do anything. And you know, it's not them, it's a spirit on them that's doing these things. And without the Lord, that person is going to hell. And some of us would just justify wanting that person to go to hell, but if we pray for them, they could have the free gift of salvation. I think it's just an awesome, awesome testimony. So I appreciate you sharing that, Aaron. So anybody else have any comments on what Aaron shared tonight? Or any thoughts?
Yeah, I'd like to share this a little bit. Aaron, that was an awesome, awesome testimony, and it was an awesome testimony to God's grace upon you. To not allow you to be caught up into that. That's just very heartwarming to see how God used you in that manner, when I've seen, and Tim has seen, many, many people get taken out by those factious spirits and not understand how they even got, that they are even out by faction. So, yeah, that is awesome. That's an awesome testimony to God's grace and his mercy. And I tell you what, I thank you, brother.
Amen. Oh, praise God. Thanks for listening, man. I'm just at this place, you know, with the Lord, where it's like, Lord, you know, Lord, the Lord just has so much mercy, and just seeking him, you know, and brother, what you've shared about prayer, you know, Michael, what you shared about prayer has really ministered to me and blessed me. And, you know, a lot of it had to do, you know, the Lord showing me a lot of this stuff. It just had to do with just seeking the Lord in prayer. And, you know, just really seeking the Lord in prayer earnestly. And that's where I felt a lot of strength when I was out there on the streets, too. And I would get into the Word when, you know, I mean, like I said, there would be times where, well, I mean, I wasn't really getting a lot of the teachings in at that time except in the library. And I was just seeking the Lord. And the Lord would just give me strength. And it was just, it was all praise God. It was just all Him. You know, just asking Him, seeking Him. And then the Lord started to, the Lord gave me, He opened, you know, opened up more doors to where I was able to, you know, because when I was out on the streets, it was really hard to even, you know, get into the teachings at times because I didn't have anywhere to sit and listen. And, you know, the Lord, I mean, all these cares that I had then too, you know, because I was like, oh Lord, what about this? What about that? And the Lord just miraculously started, spiritually, you know, just really, He just started giving me direction, and he did some miracles there just by praying, you know. And it's a real prayer is just such an important thing. I mean, you know, praying without ceasing. You know, the Lord really ministered. You know, you know, really a lot of this just came through praying and just asking the Lord and. Yeah, praise the Lord. Thanks for listening. Thanks everybody for listening. I give the Lord all the glory. There's no way that I could have got out of any of that whatsoever. There's no way I could have got any of the all the stuff that the Lord did out on the streets about revealing the spirits, the spirit realm, any of that. Like, there's no way that I could have. It's all God. It was just how the Lord put everything, how the Lord set everything up, how the timing was. I mean, the Lord's hand was on all of it. When everything looked like it was wrong, the Lord was saying, this is right. You know, like, this is, you needed to go through this. Like, I remember one time getting a word from a brother on the phone. Actually, I was talking to Chad on the phone one time, and I was out there, and Chad said he was really praying for me earnestly, and he said he felt like the Lord was, you know, because at this time the Lord started convicting me about, okay, I want you to get a place where you can rest your head. And I started to realize, oh Lord, did I make a mistake? Or I started thinking about, did I make a mistake, Lord? And so Chad told me, you know, like, well, I sought the Lord, and I, you know, I felt like the Lord was saying, you're going to have to go around the mountain one more time. And he was really praying for me the whole time I was out there. And see, when I heard that, I was like, oh Lord. But it was true, because I was going out there, you know, the Lord wanted me to think about, well, you know, I want you to have a place for your daughter to come to. I want, you know, like, the Lord was showing me what He desired. That I wasn't seeing before when I was in the letter of the word. So when things looked really bad, when things looked like when it looked like I was going the wrong way, when I was doing wrong, on a religious level, the Lord showed me to turn to all of it around and said, you couldn't have done anything. You couldn't have done better. It was like the Lord saying, well, do you think you could have done better? You did, you know, this is, it's like the Lord, I mean, it was just awesome how the Lord did that, and He showed me how he really does work everything together for the good. He really does. And I just praise God. I just praise God for all of it. I praise God for all the awesome testimonies and just wonderful messages that and just things that the Lord's doing in everybody's lives here. And every time somebody shares something, and it's just, it blesses me tremendously, and to see that there really is a body out there the Lord's really preparing, and even the small, even the things that seem like they're small to share on these calls, it's like the Lord's been showing me that it can make a great impact. You know, it could be something really small, but it could be something so on time that the right person needed to hear it. And that's why I felt like, okay, the Lord was saying, it's time for you to share this, you know? And I'm like, okay, because I've been waiting and waiting, and I just, you know, anyway. Oh, man, it's so, got 9 minutes left here, so praise the Lord, I'll, yeah.
Well, here's the thing that I think is awesome. You know, you were caught up in legalism, you were caught up in works, but you were still seeking the Lord, asking the Lord. You were fasting, you were praying, you were prayer walking, you were asking Him to open your spiritual eyes. I mean, you were just seeking the Lord through that whole trial. You know, you were just constantly seeking the Lord, asking the Lord, just asking Him. You know, you wanted to be, you took everything to the Lord, the factious thing you took to the Lord. And He started revealing the stuff, actually what David was teaching, that you saw the infection go through the family and how it affected people, and He was showing it to you in the spirit, and you were feeling the coldness, you were feeling the, you know, He was giving you visions, He was giving you dreams of warning, and you were being led by the Lord through those visions, through those dreams, through the discernment of spirits, through the feelings you were feeling. And I think it needs to be a lesson to us that, you know, there's a lot of things that we may discern in the spirit. We may feel, you know, feel things and not necessarily know that we're discerning, you know, the spirits. And, you know, because but we got to be asking Him. We got to be praying. We got to be seeking. We got to be, that's where the obedience is during that whole time, you were just, you know, you just had your childlike faith, or you were just kind of growing in the Lord, and you were just taking everything to Him, reading the Word, bringing it, you know, it's like, Lord, is this what you're showing me, or is this what you're saying, or that? And that's how He wants us to be. It's just taking, seeing Him in everything, and just constantly being asking Him, and not just, you know, we just gotta, I don't know, this testimony definitely blessed me, and just seeing where your heart was just to totally be seeking the Lord and being led of the Lord, and He led you through that time, and you know, even the testimony came out afterwards, He showed you, hey man, I was here, and you're praying for this guy, and I worked on him, you know, so. And He protected you from the factious. He showed you all that in the spirit, and I think it's awesome. So it just gives you just a good idea how the Lord can just, you know, work through our dreams, work through, you know, just being in the spirit. But we got to ask, and we got to seek. So I just definitely blessed me. So Father, I just ask that you give us all a hunger to be led of you in the spirit, to ask you of all things, to seek you in all things, to see you in all things around us. And Lord, we just ask you just hone us into the spirit, just help us to discern spirits, just, you know, to be led of you in visions, to be led of you in dreams, to be led of you in discerning of spirits, to be led of you in all things, Lord. And Father, I see through Aaron's testimony where there's areas where I lack and I don't ask, and I tend to take charge of myself, Lord, and I just repent of that, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for just working in all of us to, you know, just to be true disciples of you and follow you and to walk in your steps and to be led of you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. All right, we got a few more minutes left. And does anybody else have any comments, any thoughts they'd like to bring forth?
Yeah, that was a really amazing testimony, Aaron. This is Dave Nelson. was quite, I give you, I don't know if I could survive that as well as you did. You went through some really tough times. I give you, it gives us an inspiration of things to draw to and strive for to be with the Lord. Wow, you really went through the wilderness on that one. It's a good testimony. It's something we look at ourselves, even here, and we're thinking, wow, I've got a long ways to go. I'm just like Tim. You know, that's we think sometimes the trials we're going through are tough, but just what I heard, that was significant.
Amen. Yeah, I thought the testimony about eating the rotten chicken was stretching me, but I mean, this one was really stretching me. So. But that's what testimonies are for, man. If he can do it for Aaron, he can do it for any one of us. He's no respecter. You know, we just, you know, whatever situation we're in, we just got to get our eyes on the Lord, not on the situation, not on ourselves. And, you know, that's really what the testimony's all about, you know. So, awesome. All right, anybody else? Does anybody else need prayer or anything before we close out? Well, all right, let's go ahead and close out. So, Father, right now, we just, Lord, we just thank you for Brother Aaron. We just thank you for this just this awesome testimony you brought forth and how you worked in his life. And even when he was caught up in, you know, just legalism and works, you saw his heart. And he knew his heart was to seek you and to be right with you. And he was doing all that he knew, even though he wasn't, you know, he was kind of caught up. But you met him where he was at, and you blessed him through that situation, Lord. And, Lord, that's just an awesome testimony to us on just how loving you are and how you'll meet us where we're at. And we just need to seek you. We just need to see you in all things. And we need to walk in what we know. We need to walk in forgiveness. We need to crucify the flesh. We need to separate from the world, separate from the lusts of our flesh, separate from the apostate system out there, and all we need is your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to teach us and train us. That's what you did with Aaron. He was just being taught by your Spirit and not man, seeking you and not man. And we just, what an awesome testimony, Lord. We just thank you for blessing him, Lord. Just continue to bless him in these days to come, Lord. Just continue to allow him to be led of you and not get ahead of you. And do the same in all of us, Lord. Just teach us to be led of you. Be led of the Spirit, Lord, to open our eyes to the spirit realm and not to go by what we see in the natural, but to be led of what you show us in the Spirit. We just thank you for that, Lord. Father, I just ask you to just bless everybody in this fellowship, everybody in the room tonight, and the people that couldn't make it in tonight, Lord, and just continue to just give them a hunger to walk right with you and to be led of you, Lord. We just thank you for that. Bless everybody's week. Bless their sleep tonight, Lord. Give them dreams and visions, Lord. Give them discernment, Lord. Father, just help them to, to remember their dreams and to discern their dreams and just to see where you're speaking to them. We just thank you for that, Lord. Just continue to pour out your gifts, Lord, and teach us to walk in them. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives and blessing us, Lord. And we just thank you for all these answered prayers. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Well, good night, everybody. It's been an awesome night. Thank you, Aaron. You've been a blessing.
Amen. Thank you, Aaron. That was awesome.